Welcome, everybody, to Feral and Fabulous. We are so excited about our guest today. I have known this guy for, God, I don't even know how long, but we have the fabulous, always fabulous, Tony Agosfivas with Keysar's Pools and all things cool in general. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. I don't even know where to get started because there's so many things that I have to ask you about. But I think the first thing I wanted to kind of broach was, how did you get in the pool business? Like, what led you down that path to be in the pool biz?
Well, it's really funny you bring that up. I had just had the same question asked to me for a monthly newsletter that we do at Keysar's Pools that I was featured in this last month. So it was really, I came from the hospitality industry.
Okay.
And right before, right when I was getting finished with that, I got into advertising sales. So that was kind of the start of my sales was print advertising. I got into that, but I still had that background of the hospitality industry.
Okay.
I happened to go to high school with some of the Czar's kids. And as I kind of migrated back into San Antonio, got into the print advertising.
So were you not living in San Antonio always?
I was not living in San Antonio. I had taken a hiatus a bit and lived overseas and in Europe for a while. Yeah,
I did not know that.
Yes.
Okay.
And I kind of worked some hospitality hotel jobs all over Europe. I would kind of save money from these jobs and then use that.
Is this after high school or before?
After high school, a little bit after college.
Okay.
I kind of
went
to college, found that you know, I was a little bit nomadic, I would like to say.
Okay. I
get
that.
Best way to put it.
Okay.
And I went for a month of backpacking Europe and fell in love with it. And I had heard that if you're over in Europe, you could find jobs under the table. And I found a couple jobs over there, which allowed me to kind of sit back and save money and then save that money and travel.
Wow.
Oddly enough, one of these jobs that I found in central London happened to be at a place called the Texas Lone Star. I was randomly walking past a Tex-Mex restaurant while I was looking for a job in London. And I said, I saw this job, saw this restaurant. I was like, I have to stop and see if they're looking for any help. I'd already been in the hospitality industry. And one thing led to another. I got a job there and I would use this job as a home base to go live in London, work 6 to 8 months, take the money that I've made there and go travel Southeast Asia, go all over the world. You know, then I would go back this job, save money, and kind of did this. I was in my 20s, no responsibility.
Oh, kids. My gosh. I didn't know anything about this story. This is incredible. I'm loving this. I had no idea. I'm serious. But you did grow up in San Antonio, though, right? You went to school here.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. I did grow up here, went to Churchill.
Yeah, okay, cool.
You know, there's always a saying, everyone comes back, San Antonio.
Absolutely.
Definitely happens to be one of those places that you come back
to.
Oh,
yeah. So, I've been here since first grade.
Yeah. After that hiatus, I came back and that's kind of where the pool industry started.
Wow. That is so crazy. And so basically when you came back, you reconnect with the Czar's, you know, kids that you went to school with? Or?
I did. And I had another really good friend that was working over there. He was also friends with the Czar's family. We'd go out and have beers together.
Sure.
And I saw this group of guys that were having the most fun. And they were talking about being in the pool industry and how much fun they were having,
yes,
going to meet with clients,
yes,
and making the pool dreams happen in,
yes,
in their backyards.
Yes.
And this really was resonating with me at this time.
Yeah.
Here I am, and nothing bad to say about print advertising
no,
sales.
I love the Czar's family. They're awesome. I mean, just what a great family.
Yeah. And it was so, knowing that I had already gone to school with them, I was starting to see them out a little bit more. At the time, there wasn't really anything open at the company. But I kind of stuck with the persistence of, you know, saying, hey, I would be interested. I am in, you know, a sales and I think I would be good about it. And so once something finally came up, they invited me, or I kind of was persistent and went and asked Keith a couple times, and one thing led to another, and I got a job there.
I love it. Oh my gosh, what a story. And I had no idea when I asked the question what the answer was going to be. So anyway, learned a lot. Well, many of you guys, probably most of you know that we have a celebrity here because Tony became a celebrity when he did the Pool Kings show. That was how many years ago?
Wow. I think that started in 2018, I want to say.
Yeah, it was pre-COVID. I know that it was before
COVID. Definitely pre-COVID.
Right, but I couldn't remember what the years were. But anyway, tell me, what was that experience of Pool Kings like?
Whoa. How that started, it was really funny because we were starting to go to people's backyards or homes to do their initial pool consultation, uh-huh. and the clients were referencing this show called Pool Kings. And this might have been, Kim, right around 2017 now that I think about it.
Okay.
And all of us were kind of started, didn't know so much about it, but then we started watching the show and started, wow, that's a really cool show. And it was right around that time when we started hearing about it that they approached us at Keystar's Pools and asked if we would like to be part of it. And there were a few different producers. The one that happened to be, that came to us was from California. And they loved the fact that we don't subcontract any of our work, that if they were to choose us that, you know, we would have all the, you know, excavators and the plumber, everything was there. So sure. It was a win-win, but that's how it became, you know, to Keystar's Pools was just that initial asking us if we want to be involved. And, you know, then they took us all out and kind of paraded us in front of a camera and they ended up selecting a couple of us to do it.
Wow. So do you have any like behind the scenes stories that you can share that you're able to share?
Well, it was, you know, like any of your DIY shows or, you know, rent it, build it. There always has to be that issue, right?
I understand, of course.
It's funny to see how it all, you know, it all transpired when you're doing the show because you got to have something that's got to happen.
Of course.
I would say that's kind of the inside.
Yeah, exactly.
Something's got to happen, but yeah, it was a lot
little
of-
Little insider trading right here.
Little insider, you know, there's always got to be a problem.
Of course.
It was a lot of fun though. And, you know, some of the other things, you know, these people had purchase the pool, right?
Yeah,
and
so of course.
They're seeing the pool get built, but you're also doing the whole, are you ready to see it?
So. Yes, exactly. It is in their backyard, though.
A lot of work, though. I was at that time just, I was having my second and third kid, twins. And so the amount of work that goes into that 20-minute segment show is unbelievable.
No. Talk about that a little bit, just because I feel like I talk to people all the time about just reality TV mm-hmm. and all those different type of shows, HGTV, whatever it happens to be, whether it's real estate related, pools, you know, whatever. I feel like it's just, I mean, what you see as the finished product and what actually went into that to create that is like you said, it's like unbelievable how much you actually have to put into something in order to get that finished product.
Well, absolutely. And I think with a pool, as you know, most people who've built a pool or have ever inquired, it takes time.
Absolutely.
Right?
So absolutely.
You're going through the different phases of the process of a pool. And I don't think TV producers for the most part like the time that
no,
it takes.
They're absolutely. Kind of, oh, they're all about getting to the, you know, end point.
Absolutely. So there was a lot of, you know, them flying back and forth. You know, you're taking an incredible amount of takes just to show the right excavation you know, the gunite when they're pouring the concrete. So it was quite a bit of time, which I think, once again, most aren't used to for a show like this.
Right.
And then throw on getting the right shots, retaking. It was stressful. And that wasn't my real job, right?
Right. Exactly. That was just a side gig.
Yes.
But yet a very time-consuming side gig.
Very time-consuming, you know.
And babies probably being born and then crying all night long.
Crying, and dad not being home, 6 hours filming, 6 hours doing your regular job.
Yeah.
I think after the first season, I was like, oh, I can pass this along to someone else just because of the amount of time it took. But in hindsight, it was such a great experience, you know, to be able to sit and watch that with my kids now and go back and play some of the episodes and so much fun with the people I did it with. I wouldn't get that. Never not have done it.
Yeah, no, that. I totally get that. And since you brought up your boys, tell everybody the name of your boys. You have the coolest names for your boys like that I've ever heard in my life. I mean, I love your boys. They have great personalities and their names are just like amazing.
Oh, well, thank you. So my last name is Kim said earlier is aguas vivas, which means
like, I probably didn't say it right.
No, it's all good. Everyone butchers it, which means living water in Spanish, like live water.
Yeah.
So it's just been great that I got in the pool industry for this. But for one of my twin boys, we named him River because of aguas vivas, which is a nice fit. And then my wife and I named our second boy Vedder. Like Eddie Vedder.
I know.
Because we really liked the band Pearl Jam. They had a large impact on our lives over the last 10 years. And so it was kind of a nice thing to
I know, which there. Leads me to the next thing I wanted to ask you about is your Pearl Jam obsession. And I know that you and Amy have, I don't even know how many Pearl Jam concerts you guys have been to, but tell me a little bit about that. I mean, because it looks like it's just so fun. And like I said, you guys are just hardcore. I mean, I love Pearl Jam as well, which is why I thought your kids have just the most amazing names.
Well, I think it's, you know, a lot to do with the music. Also, we love to travel. So there is a bit of an intimate group that follows these shows. And so I think it's a large part of the music, but it's also the ability to go see Pearl Jam in wonderful, beautiful cities around the States or around the world.
So is there like a click? Like, so you guys have like some travel people like that you all know each other and you live in different cities and you get together and watch Pearl Jam?
To a certain extent, I wouldn't say it's people that we've actually met at the shows, which there are a lot of people you can kind of get in that kind of click or if you want to call it a cult, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
But really it's a lot of friends that we have from San Antonio or people that we know from different states that are just friends that will travel and kind of meet up and we'll go eat at nice restaurants and go to shows. I think we've probably been a little north of 40 now.
Are you kidding me?
But you take two or three in at a time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You've beat me on my Morgan Wallen concerts. I mean, you blew me out of the water, you know, pun intended. With how many concerts you've been to. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's a guilty pleasure. And
I love it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's a lot of fun and to be able to, you know, share it with friends. And once again, the shows are one thing, but being able to be in Southern California on the beach watching a show or up in Seattle, it's a lot of it has to do with the food and drink and everything you're eating.
Isn't it always?
always is.
No, I totally get that. So tell me, are they still touring?
So they actually are on a sabbatical right now.
Okay.
Their drummer, who happened to be the drummer of Soundgarden 2, but was also Pearl Jam's drummer for the last about 25 years, just recently resigned or decided he was going to take a step back.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
The fabulous Matt Cameron. But
oh, wow.
I have a feeling that they'll probably find someone else in the next year or so to fill in.
Okay.
They had kind of been on a good two-year run of touring for a new album, so it was probably a good time for
a little bit of a break.
All their fans to kind of replenish their money.
Yes, exactly.
Replenish their money.
Isn't that
so
the
they
truth?
Because it gets expensive. But
no, artists, I think artists do have to look at that because if you have rabid fans and they're willing to support you, but financially, that's a commitment. I get that they can only push the tour so much because people still have to pay for the tickets.
Definitely have to pay for tickets. And I think they're older.
Travel
and they're
whatever.
Older, you know, they're in their
How old are they now?
I would say late 50s, early 60s, most of the band members.
So, cool.
Their shows have kind of gotten a little bit less.
As they do. That's so cool. I didn't know that story either. So very, very cool. Okay, so switching back to pools.
Okay.
What would you say, like, what are the trends right now? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's like in real estate, we have like different styles that are trending right now, you know, just the size of houses, you know, is big in or is smaller in or tiny houses and all that kind of stuff. So liken that to the pool industry and kind of what are you seeing on that front?
Great question. I think we've talked about this a little bit, but, you know, over the last 7 years, everything has gone to these geometric, straight, rectangular pools.
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay. Interesting.
I think a large part of this has to do with most of the homes that we're seeing, especially new construction. Yeah. A lot of the homes are much more modern, right?
Yeah. So they're going cleaner lines in the style. And so it's translating on the pool side of things.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Like I would say, you know, when I first started in 2010, 80% of the pools were freeform, curved.
Right. Right. You know, that's what I kind of,
waterfalls.
That's how they were when I was growing up. And even in my younger years, I felt like kidney shape and just free flow, free form, whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. That's what everybody did.
I mean, it was
Non-natural.
Yeah. I mean, you would go out to, and you would just know that it was going to be a free form curved pool with a boulder waterfall and a raised spa. That was the thing.
Yeah.
And then fast forward to 2017, 2018, you literally just kind of saw a complete flip of that. Now it's when someone asks for that free form curved pool, you're like, well,
what the heck?
What the heck, right?
Yeah.
It's completely changed. And
yeah,
it's been very interesting to see that change.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say that's a normal trend. Obviously, if you're going out to Fredericksburg or these big ranches or places that has a lot of, you know, natural hill country look, you'll still get a good
more of that,
more of the curved,
free form
pools with the flagstone. But, you know, it's just so rare now to get that in the city, to go into people's backyards, because everything tends to be really straight line geometric. So it's been fun to see this transition.
I could be wrong, but in my mind, I'm thinking that these kind of rectangles, more specific sizes and shapes and everything, would be more challenging. Or am I wrong? Or is it not necessarily more difficult?
Well, you know, I would say as far as...
Because you're not working with the terrain. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a free form, it seems like, okay, you just work with whatever the terrain's doing. If you have a specific size and shape that you want, it's kind of like, where do we... I guess placement is really critical then, I guess, right?
Placement, yes, and you got to be square. No one wants
to be square.
You have to be very precise on your squares. I think you have a little bit more flexibility and leeway. Yeah. If you're to make a slight mistake on a freeform pool, you really have to check all your angles and make sure everything's kind of in line with these straight line pools. And they tend to be a little bit more expensive too, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
People are under the, it's kind of a misconception. I get a lot of clients are, I would have thought.
It seems like it's a square, so that should be like the easiest thing you do. And to me, I actually feel just the opposite. Mm-hmm. I feel like that would be more expensive because it's so specific rather than being free flow and you can work with whatever. You're having to force sometimes a square peg into what may be a round hole of ground or whatever.
Absolutely. Well, and on top of that, you know, pools are, you know, the pricing is based on square footage and a square.
Good point.
Yeah. You know, you're always going to have a little bit more square footage depending on size with the geometric pool. Also with the finishes, you know, finishes are huge. If you're going with a rectangular or geometric square, you're not going to want to put flagstone on it, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to be that natural stone, which is a little bit, you know, you're going to want to have a really, you know, a individually cut piece of stone, a luters, a very nice travertine.
Right.
And that just because the finish looks so much nicer.
Right.
To make it a little bit more expensive.
No, totally get that. And talking about finishes, I know that there have been some advancements made in the type of finish that you can have in a pool. Because, of course, you know, when I, like I said, I was born, you know, 100 years ago. And the pools that we did or that were done back then had the typical gunite regular shell. I don't even know what it's called, but it was just smooth, regular finish out, you know. But now I feel like there's so many like amazing type options. Like what are some of the cooler new finishes that you have for pools? And what are the like positives, negatives, anything you can say about that?
I love that you ask about this because the pool finish is such a huge part of the pool, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You put water in the pool, you're swimming in the pool, you want to be able to control how it feels, looks.
Yes.
And we didn't have that opportunity when we were kids,
not
right?
Not at all.
Everything
not
was
at all.
Smooth, white, maybe a little bit of blue here.
Yeah, but it was, pretty much the same.
Straight across the board. Yeah. Now, since I've been there and, you know, we've had, like you said, a lot of advances, we use what's called Pebble Sheen.
Okay.
The beauty of this is that you have, when you're doing the plaster, you have a little bit of an aggregate, the Pebble Tech having a little bit more of a coarse shell stone aggregate, the Pebble Sheen having a little bit less coarse shell. And the beauty is that you get to control the feel. The look, if you're someone that loves to hang out in the Mediterranean, you want that kind of Mediterranean color, you can, you know, curtail your pool to look like that.
Okay.
If you're someone that enjoys going down to Aruba, the Caribbean, you can get a plaster that feels and looks exactly how you want
it. Oh my gosh, how amazing is that?
And on top of that, these last a lot longer, depending on how you're taking care of your pool.
Okay.
So,
that's good to
you know, the shelf life of a Pebble Tech plaster is about 20 to 25 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Compared to the standard plaster that we all grew up with, which is about an 8 to 10 year
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my, I didn't realize there was such a delta in the differences in finishes as to how long they last.
Yes. Well, and to even confusing you a little bit more, now there's a new finish coming out. Keith Zars does his personal one, but it's called a glass finish. It's like a glass bead. And once again, oh, a different feel, but you're getting all those beautiful colors. You can really, once again,
like
customize.
It's glass, like reflective kind of like, or is it?
It's a little bit reflective. It looks similar to the Pebble Tech that I was just talking about, but the feel is completely different.
Really?
Oh, yes, yes. And we do have a bunch of, all of our pools at our office has one finish of this or another. But yes, it's the glass is really nice. It's a personal preference. But,
I may have to have you do a pool just to see this glass finish.
It's gorgeous too. So I know some of my builders have been using it a lot. And a lot of clients love the glass.
Oh, I love it. I had no idea that there were all these cool finishes. So
it's like building a custom house in a different way.
Boy, do I know about that, right? Oh my gosh. Well, tell me, with all these cool and neat finishes that you've kind of developed and have been changing, what are some of the biggest challenges that people have in getting a pool built? Like, where are the, you know, where does the rubber meet the road? Like, where are the challenges? Or, and I know it can vary from probably project to project, but like, what are some examples of things where, you know, there was a challenge?
Well, I can tell you one thing that real estate agents always call me about is, can I get access into my backyard? And, you know, I'll have a lot of real estate agents call and want to send me a survey.
Yes.
As their clients are in an option period of a home. That's a huge challenge. I mean, you have to look at a house and be able to know which side you're going to get a machine on. Other challenges, easements.
Yes.
Easements are where you have electrical gas lines. Sometimes there might be drainage easements. You know, all surveys, all plats tell you about this easement, but that's a huge challenge on a pool.
Oh, you know what? Until you just said that, I'd kind of forgotten, but I don't know if, I'm sure you do remember it because it was literally a lot, but you have such a unique way of dealing with challenges and getting the job done, because this is several years ago, but you've helped many clients of mine, but this particular client was trying to put a pool into an area that was like very challenging. You know which one it is without me even saying any more, right? Okay, so, and of course I worked, Matt, one of our producers, he was super involved in this whole project, and we had to get, there were so many easements, there were so many, we had to deal with multiple variances that had to be, they weren't in place yet. They had to be gotten. So the variances had to be acquired, and then you had to get HOA approval. You had, there was so
Sonterra to drive on their golf course.
All of that, it involved, you know, not being hit by a golf ball while this was all going on. I mean, this was an incredible project, and it turned out so beautiful. Like, I truly believe you and Kesar's that pools, I don't think it could have been done with anybody else. I just feel like it was that challenging a project, and seeing you get it done with insurmountable, like most of the pool people would have said, no, can't be done, because it was just not an easy deal. Right. So I feel like I've seen you in circumstances that were, again, not ideal, not the kind of project that a lot of people would have taken on, but you did not steer away from it. You were like, we're getting it done. This is what he wants. He's going to get this, and he got it.
Well,
so,
believe it or not, that's kind of some of the fun of my job.
Okay. Interesting.
I love challenges.
You like a challenge. Okay.
I grew up playing sports. I love the competitive nature.
Okay.
It's a bit of a different competitiveness, getting variances but, you know, a lot of times you keep the numbers, you've dealt with CPS, you've dealt with SAWS, and as long as you can kind of win them over and tell them what you're doing and show them things, it might take a long time, but a lot of times they'll give you a little bit of leeway to build these.
A little bit of grace,
And that was such a challenging, unique project that as we got so far along in it, you wanted to get it done, right? Like you had to get it across.
For sure.
So, and then when it was done and we got the approval to see that thing come to life and to know the client was so happy.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing better. And yeah. It might have taken a little bit longer, a little bit more work, but it was so worth it at the end.
Absolutely. And like I said, it just was an amazing thing to watch, you know. And again, I participated a little bit in helping to solve things, but, you know, you were boots on the ground and definitely making it happen. So I've seen firsthand what your capabilities are. So all I'm saying is if any of you guys are looking to build a pool, even if it's an easy pool, he's your guy. I mean, obviously, if it's a easy pool, he could be having a cocktail over on the side and getting it done while it happens. But even if it's a challenging type situation, Tony will make it work for you. So when you brought that up, I was like, oh, my God, I remember that project it's many years ago, but now. Yep. But just a great example of the kind of things that you can do to get something that seems to be really challenging, but still get it done anyway.
Absolutely. So. And going back to your initial question, you know, the easements, the access, I would also, you know, living in the hill country, elevation is going to be a big one. You know, how do you create this design and take into the natural elevation of the backyard? Those are some of the challenges. And then we had talked about this just recently, a couple of days ago. Some HOAs now are very finicky about letting you build a pool in a building setback. So this has randomly come up lately, but Chabonneau Park,
interesting,
the Canyon, some of these more local neighborhoods don't want a pool to go into their building setback, which usually a building setback is for vertical structures. So
that's
but
interesting.
Those are some of the challenges.
But that can be a challenge. Maybe one of the challenges that I don't think we've talked about it today, but I've had it happen with clients recently. Can you talk a little bit about impervious ground cover?
Yep.
Because there are several subdivisions around the area where you have to have X amount of impervious ground cover in order to build a pool in that particular neighborhood. Now, that's not across the board in all the neighborhoods, but there are specific ones where that's a thing. And if you don't have enough impervious ground cover rights, right?
Yep.
Then you can't basically build a pool or a whatever anything else that is going to be, and maybe talk about what impervious ground cover is and what that really means.
Yes. So there is, and this tends, Kim, to be on the Edwards Aquifer Recharge Zone.
Okay.
So impervious coverage, they want a lot of these neighborhoods, call it Cibolo Canyons, some of the shirts, just Cibolo neighborhoods, they want to have at least 50% of your yard being pervious, meaning that you can actually, when it rains,
accept
the water to go in. And as you start putting in pools or the surrounding decking that goes around the pools, that ends up being impervious, right? Meaning that water can't get through that.
Right.
So a lot of clients or people will buy homes and not have an idea of what this entails. And so you really have to go out there and come up with a plan, take the actual, you know, property, look how much house is on there, put in a pool design, and maybe not even create any sort of flat work or decking around the pool so that you stay within those guidelines of, you know, being less than 50%.
Yeah.
Some of these jurisdictions, and it's a case-by-case situation, don't count the pool as being impervious because the pool actually collects water. It has an overflow.
Yeah.
Once again, it's a tricky, you got to kind of find out. So there is some loopholes through it, but it is a real thing.
Okay.
You tend to see this more up in the north, central kind of area of San Antonio.
Right.
Once again, areas that are, you know, by the JW Marriott that happen to be on the recharge zone, because obviously water is a little bit tough to get these days and they really want to collect as much as they can.
So, absolutely.
It is a thing. But I'm always happy to help if it ever comes up.
No, that's awesome. Know, well, you've helped me in several cases where impervious ground cover was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I know that you can handle that. I'm curious, what's a typical, how many square feet of impervious ground cover does a typical pool take?
You know, it's once again, it just depends on, you know, the size of a lot or what the actual client wants. But I would say about 800 square feet, you know, a good 450 square foot pool. Which is a good average, nice size pool for a normal backyard.
Could you do a pool with 500 square feet of impervious ground cover?
Yes, we would just have to be very creative on maybe
how
making
you did
those
that.
The flat work. Like for instance, if you do paver stones that can have the water seep in, that's a
that
way to
would kind be of, a way to offset that. Offset so that, okay, yeah. But obviously, depending on the pool design, that would kind of determine, and obviously how big it is. That would those would be factors that would determine how much impervious ground cover you needed.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, and on top of that, is that subdivision or jurisdiction going to allow, you know, the pool to count towards pervious or impervious?
And if they also wanted to have like an outdoor gazebo or whatever, if they had anything that they were pouring concrete, then that was gonna, that's going to count toward how much of that impervious ground cover that they're using.
Absolutely. In situations like that, you might just try to do like some sort of pergola of where the water can come through. And then just
or do a deck, right? Or do a deck of some
composite
kind of finish deck. So mm-hmm. that you're not utilizing your impervious ground cover in order to do that space and you can save it for the pool or whatever.
You got to be very clever.
Yes. Luckily, you are clever.
Yes, so. There are ways, you know.
No, absolutely. Okay, so tell me, how do you feel like Keith Czars differs as a company to the other? Because there's so many other pool companies in town. So tell me a little bit more about how you guys differ.
Definitely. I think it all starts with the leader up top. Okay. Keith, wow, he's been a father figure for me in the 15 years that I've been there. I remember I tell this story. I told it at a dinner with his wife and Keith a couple months ago. But one of the first times I had answered the phone for up at the front desk, that person had asked for Keith. And I said, may I ask who's calling, please? Well, it happened to be his wife. And his wife kind of got on me. He's like, we don't screen any of Keith's phone calls. Anyone who wants to talk to Keith
can
talk to Keith. You know, maybe he's not in his office and he'll, you know, you have to leave a message.
Sure.
But it was at that moment, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Most people have some sort of receptionist.
Screening. Oh, yeah.
Someone they have screening.
They have a body blocker to
exactly.
get to the person.
And that's not Keith. You know, he's always on. We'll go to job sites. I was up in Fredericksburg at a client's house with him this week. You know, if there's an issue, he'll talk to them. He'll go to them. So I think to answer your question, it all kind of starts up at top. You know, to have someone that stands by his product, that has a maintenance department, a service department there, you know, a warranty to where if you have issues where you're calling us, you're not calling that person, you know, who doesn't answer the phone. So I think that's a huge thing. And I think where we really differ is by having the majority of our, you know, workers in-house.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's amazing.
The guys that excavate the Howell pool, they're going to go to the Smith house and excavate their pool. Then the plumbers come to the Howell pool. Oh. So what they do for us on a day-in, day-out basis is the same
Incredible.
Task. And I have nothing bad to say about subcontractors, but being able to have all your workers in-house allows you to control the quality.
Control
the scheduling.
Yep.
There's never any finger-pointing. Oh, I have an issue with my pool. A lot of people want to say it was that person or that person. It's all us.
In-house,
so, yes.
Yeah. Well, if you ever, if you haven't had the opportunity to make a trip over to Keith Czars, just their grounds are amazing. I mean, it's like you drive in and it's like, oh my gosh, you have no idea how big the footprint of y'all's operation is. But I mean, you've got the trucks over there. You've got a great showroom. I mean, it's just examples of pools and it's just a cool place to go and check out if you haven't already checked it out.
I'm sure that's a little strategic too, right? Like you drive in there. I mean, why would you go anywhere else?
I know. That's so true. I love it. No, I love making trips over there and making selections and all that kind of stuff. So.
Well, and I think also it's really nice is that because we do have 8 pools, when you're spending this kind of money or when you're purchasing a pool, to be able to go see all these different you know, tiles or features of these pools,
Absolutely.
It really kind of gets you, wow, this is what it's going to look like. So it's nice going there. We did just open a new Braunfels office a couple years ago, and we've just started doing all of our in-ground pools there. So in the next few months, we'll have another office with a bunch of pools as that Austin, Seguin, you know, Driftwood area starts growing.
Yeah, no, I mean, you guys do an amazing pool. We have a Keith Czars pool in our current McNair Custom Homes model out at 11216 Ensor, and it is beautiful. You guys did an amazing job on that, and I know you're doing the pool at the new model as well. So I'm excited to roll that one out in about a month or so. And so definitely, like I said, I've seen the quality. I've seen just how how you guys do such an amazing job of fitting the pool to the land that you have available and making it just be its best it can be for that particular space, regardless of how much space you have, whether it's a big space that you have to work with or you have a small space to work with. I feel like you make it the best it can be.
Yeah, it's working with the land. It's working with the client, you know, trying to get their vision and really what their vision is with that land and backyard. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, you have to work with both. I always give recommendations on things, but at the end of the day, you're challenged or you're working for the client and the land, and you try to make all that kind of mesh together.
No, for sure. For sure. Well, now we're coming to my maybe second, first. I'm not sure which is my favorite. I'm not sure if the shot segment is my favorite, or now we are to the feral or fabulous part of the podcast. And so I will need you. Where? Oh, you have the paddle. You had it hiding over there. So
hopefully I answer these right.
Yes. Yeah, so be prepared. Okay. I know you have no idea what I'm going to ask you. So you're going to let me know whether you think it's feral or fabulous.
Okay.
But I cannot wait to hear what your answers are.
Are there right answers or wrong answers?
No, no, there's no right or wrong answer. It's just your answer. So
okay,
football. I thought so.
Definitely fabulous.
Between like UT, I know you're a huge UT fan, and just, I mean, so tell me a little bit. I mean, you obviously like football, right?
I do like football. I actually like both footballs. I'm a big soccer fan. And if you live in Europe, you have to call it football there.
No, you're right.
I'm a very big University of Texas fan.
Yes.
I lived up in Austin for many years, and I've gone through the roller coaster of emotions with that team. And then I do like the Cowboys, but that's just,
that's a whole other story.
You don't have any expectations.
That's a whole other podcast, isn't it?
That's a whole other, no expectations, but, yeah.
But I do understand and appreciate the being a fan of the Cowboys, even in the tough years, which there've been a few.
Yes.
So no, I totally get that. Okay. So, squirrels.
Rats with legs, right?
That is so true. And you know what? I've always, like, for whatever reason, I know so many people think, oh, squirrels are so cute. You know, and they're out in the park and they're like, oh, look at those squirrels in the tree. I literally, and this is a few years ago when Dave and I were doing a remodel on one of our homes, we were living temporarily in a, you know, extended stay place. And there were these squirrels that were like vicious. And I mean, I would come out to Dave and I would go walking, you know, in the mornings, and I'm telling you, they would come out of the trees and look at us and dare us to get close to them. And they would actually approach us and almost like run after us. I am terrified of squirrels. Like, I hate them. So I get it. They are rats with legs, but they have a like evil mindset. You know, I just,
It's definitely changed since I've gotten older, right? As a kid, I thought they were kind of probably a little bit cute.
Yeah.
As you become a homeowner and they're kind of jumping on the roof.
Oh, destructive.
Destructive.
Yeah. I put them in the same category as feral and raccoons too.
Oh,
yeah. No. Same.
Awful.
No.
I'm
with
you.
You
on that.
Okay. Skiing.
More of a snowboarder.
Okay. That's all.
So
that's
snowboarding,
okay.
Fabulous. Skier.
Yeah.
And I don't mind skiing. I like them, you know. I think I learned to ski, then I jumped over to snowboarding.
Yeah.
I don't actually probably even go to the mountains that much during the ski seasons anymore. I'd rather for that cost and the whole, and you can only go during busy times.
Yeah.
Send me to the beach, but.
I'm with you. I mean, I've got a bad knee. So do I know how to ski or have I skied in the past? Absolutely.
Yep.
But as I've gotten older, my knee's gotten worse. So it's like skiing, it's just a little too much stress on the knees.
Love ski towns though. Love
ski.
Breckenridge,
okay.
Your Bear.
Yeah.
I mean, I can go hang out there.
I can go there and have some hot toddies and whatnot, but
so,
not,
I love
I'm
that.
Just skip the skiing.
Yes. Really, so that's fine for me.
Yes, very, very true. No, I love it. Okay. Artificial turf.
That's kind of I like it, but I think the main problem, and you know, we're
doing
a lot next to pools and stuff.
Because I'm starting to see more of it.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And we just started, you know, we have a department that's doing it at our office. We live in South Texas.
Yeah.
It gets hot.
I know.
It's a real thing.
It is a real thing.
It's, but I think it's gorgeous. I mean.
It is gorgeous.
It is gorgeous. You know, I start.
What are the challenges with it? Because I'm with you. I absolutely love it. I think it's amazing. I know it's pricey.
Yeah.
But tell me, like, what would be the downside? Because I've conflicting stuff?
You know, I think it's a lot of it has to do with insulation. Like I know at our office, we've really are using it to where pests can get on it.
Okay.
I think if it's, you don't have the right underlay, you have pets and you're thinking that they can do their ones and twos on it. Well, that can be a problem if you don't do it correctly. So I would say that's one thing if you do it.
I've heard you can spray it down. Is that true?
You can spray it down.
Okay.
But also there is stuff that you can put under it that allows it to absorb and not be
as,
from what I understand,
challenging. Okay.
You know, I saw artificial light in California when I would go on vacations there. So it's much cooler there. And I think the only thing that I really is, you have to let people know that it's going to be hot, you know, during our 6 months or 5 months of a year when we have the, you know, 90, 100 degree days, you know, if you're trying to think this is going to be a cooler, it's not going to be cool, but it does look great, right?
Yes. Yes. Because it's just like you said, it's hot here.
It's hot here.
Yeah.
It's hot here. But other than that, I mean, it's still becoming very popular. I think we're going to see more and more of it.
I think so too. That's why I wanted to ask about it.
Yeah. And that goes back to these geometric pools, right? The artificial turf looks very clean and inviting on these geometric pools.
So. And it looks good all the time.
And then you don't have to mow your lawn and do all that stuff.
Well, and then it is more expensive. However, you're not watering it.
You're not watering it.
So that's, I mean, let's face it. Our water bills here are no joke.
No sweat equity. You don't have to go out and, you know.
None of that.
None of that stuff.
You don't have you don't have the yard maintenance. You don't have to cut it. I mean, so there are definitely cost savings that you can have by having the artificial turf.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that one up. That's a real thing around here.
Yeah, no. I just, like I said, I'm seeing a lot more of it just in real estate in general. Mm-hmm. So I was curious what you thought about it. Okay, next one. And I have no idea what you're going to say about this one. Seafood. Okay, cool.
My fave. When Amy and I go out, it's oysters and
so you like the oysters and everything.
Seafood,
okay.
Yes. Yeah, I would say seafood is probably one of my favorites.
Okay, cool. So you like fish and like shellfish, like
shellfish,
crab,
fish,
lobster,
crab,
shrimp, all of it.
All of it. All of it.
Okay.
Yes. So I'm looking for it. That's probably my guilty pleasure.
So yeah, that's cool. So when you guys travel, are you looking, especially if you're in a coastal area, you're like taking advantage of the fresh...
That's one of the reasons why we go there.
Really? Okay, cool.
I think it goes hand in hand.
Have you been to Amalfi?
I have been to the Amalfi
many
years ago.
I did not know that.
Yes,
that's so
the Amalfi
cool.
Coast.
Okay, cool.
But that's one of my, that's beautiful. It's a beautiful area.
Well, I love Amalfi's in Vegas, but I mean, that's about as close
about
to
as
the
close.
Coast of as I've gotten is the restaurant.
Yeah, no, the Amalfi Coast is like make-believe if you ever have a chance. But but seafood is a big part of our, travels.
Okay. Which leads me to my next one and final one.
Okay.
Las Vegas.
It's fabulous, but it just beats me up every time I go there.
I
have so much fun. I've been there so many times, but Amy and I have gone twice in the last year. And even, it's just like so much fun, the great restaurants. And take it much easier than I did when I was younger.
I'm such a foodie. And so for me, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love to gamble. So I'm all about that. Because it's just mindless. I feel like when real estate gets really stressful, I need some gambling therapy, you know? And so I just feel like it's mindless entertainment. But I love the food there.
The food's great.
The food is incredible, right?
It's great. Just some of the restaurants. I found it as I've had more money as I grow older, I'm less of a gambler. I was much more crazier in my 20s and 30s when I had less money. And now I'm just like...
with
the gambling.
No,
it's funny.
I can appreciate that because I think as we get older, you realize how hard you're working for it. When you're younger, it's like easy coming, easy go. I got the rest of my life to save up and whatever, you know. And then as you get older, you're like, oh, I better watch my, I gotta like reserve my little, you know.
Well, and I also think it's because you can't go to the restaurants. You can't. There's so many. Vegas has become this place that is so much more than gambling now, right? You know, in the 90s or, you know, the early 2000s, it was just starting to become, you know, now it's like the food and
everything, the shows. I do agree. It's to me, it's like an adult playground, right? And so I feel like, yes, you obviously you gamble when you're, or not everybody, because I know a lot of people. Like my daughter goes and she doesn't gamble at all, like not one penny. I'm like, how is that even possible? Yeah. But people do it all the time because there is so much other stuff available there. So very cool. Well, thank you so much for coming and joining us. It's been such a wealth of information. And like I said, I learned a whole bunch of stuff that I had no idea that I was going to learn. So it's been incredible.
Well, I really appreciate you having me. And it's been so great working with you all these years. And you've become a good friend along the way,
too. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I was jumping to come here. So it was great.
Well, no, this is awesome. And we need to go to El Haro and celebrate soon. So I know we both have a fondness for chispas and Arturos and all the other yummy things they have there.
Yes.
So anyway, looking forward to it.
Forward to it too.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to Feral and Fabulous. We look forward to seeing you on our next episode, but keep on keeping on. Well, now is one of my favorite parts of this whole podcast, which is where we do the shot segment. So if we can grab our glasses and we'll clink. There we go. And clink to our producers.
Cheers, producers.
Kim. The fabulous Matt Stigliano and Katie Rodriguez. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Down the hatch. That is so good.
Smooth.
Oh my gosh, breakfast of champions. Love it.